Is radio station KAYT. Gina Alexandria. 88.1.
I've tried everything that good in my life in this world would offer me. Looking for some peace in my soul.
Gospel radio, serving all of Senla. At 88.1.
And welcome to Mount Zion Missionary Baptist Church radio broadcast, where Reverend Roger L. Green Sr. is the pastor. This broadcast is designed to be a blessing and life changer for you and your family. Listen now as Reverend Green takes you through the Word of God.
Lord, thank you now. We do need your spirit to fall fresh, that fresh anointing. New mercies we see every day. Now, God, as we stand, as always, we ask you to speak to me and through me, that your word will go forth, not for no self-glory, but for your glory, that we become better people because we've heard a word from you. In Christ's name and for his sake, we pray. Amen. The Gospel according to St. Luke. The Gospel according to St. Luke. Dr. Luke, chapter 14. Speaking on behalf of the Mission Department, Mount Zion, we want to thank you for all that you did on last Sunday with our mission under the leadership of our own sister Sarah Sampson. We thank you so very much. Dr. Luke chapter 14, commencing at verse 15. And when one of them that sat at meat with him heard these things, he said unto him, Blessed is he that shall eat bread in the kingdom of God. Then said he unto him, A certain man made a great supper and bade many. And he sent his servant at supper time to say to them that were bidden, Come, for all things are now ready. And they all with one consent began to make excuse. The first said unto him, I have brought a piece of ground, and I must needs go and see it. The other, I pray thee, have me excused. And another said, I have brought five yoke of oxen, and I go to prove them. Pray thee, have me excused. And watch this, another one said, I got married, so I ain't coming. So the servant came and showed his lord these things, and then the master of the house, being angry, said unto the servant, Go out quickly into the streets and into the lands and the city, bring in hither the poor, the maimed, the halt, the blind. And the servant said, Lord, it is done as thou hast commanded, yet there is still room. The lord said unto him, unto the servant, Go into the highways and the hedges and compel them to come in, that they may the house may be full. For I say unto you that none of those men which were bidden shall taste of my supper. I want to talk on this thought. If you won't go, someone else will. God bless you. Thank you, Ursus. If you won't go, someone else will. There are those who seriously believe if they are not involved in a certain project, it will never come to fruition. And if it's not of their satisfaction, they refuse to get involved. There is something that is shady. And when something going on is very shady, we should not try to involve ourselves. But if something is going on for the glory of God, as children of God, we should have a desire to get involved. And whatever thing that God has ordained, we should want to be a part of the program. Sadly to say that all of us won't be able to take the lead. But yet, to be a good, great leader, you must learn first to be a great follower. And so, as a child of God, and being so, we should have a desire to get involved without bringing glory to ourselves. Many of us, sadly to say, have a what I get out of it mentality. I will come to the program, but what's in it for me? We want you to come to the choir annual. Well, am I singing? But if we do what we do and we do it well, and if we're doing it for the glory of God, then why we need to be up front all the time? This chapter that's in our hearing, it opens in verse 1 with Jesus being invited to the home of one of the chief Pharisees. And it was common in those days for teachers to be invited home for a meal after the services of the synagogue, much like in our day and time when you would invite the pastor to come over and eat Sunday dinner back in the day. When mama used to have the pastor to come over, he get first charge. I didn't like it, Brother West. He don't live here. What is it about him that he gets first charge? And so it always was that the pastor always grabbed the piece of chicken my eye was on. And so that's how it was even in biblical days. They would invite the teacher over. But here in this occasion, Jesus is in the house of a Pharisee. Verse 3 suggests and also informs us that he is also in the presence of lawyers, law keepers. In Jewish customs, there were 613 laws and commands that they observed. And these men who were at the supper were experts in the law, experts in keeping the law and watching those who perhaps would break the law. You know, you have worshipers and you have law keepers. Worshipers come in and worship God in spite of. But law keepers come in to make sure that we don't damage nothing while we worship. Y'all missed the point. You got some people who can quote the bylaws off the top of their head, but can't even recite the 23rd Psalm. That's another message. And so this brings us to our text. One of the guests hears all the talk about when Jesus speaks of breaking bread, and he tries to get spiritual. Here in verse 15, he opens up by saying, he ends by saying, "Blessed is he that shall eat bread in the kingdom of God." And people do that all the time. They try to be more spiritual than they really are. Have you ever met somebody like that? they are trying to be more spiritual than they really are. You can't even have a decent conversation. Man, how you doing? I'm blessed and highly favored. Who lied and told you you was highly favored? You can't even, Tiger, talk to them about the football game. Man, did you see the Saints win, Cooper, the other day? And then they want to say, yes, but the Lord protected the quarterback and gave him the strength. The cast. Oh, Lord, here we go. Do you know someone like that? To try to be more spiritual than they really are. You don't have to force out Christianity. Just let it show. If you cut the switch on, the light gonna shine. It don't have to force itself. And if you are saved, you don't have to prove by every word out of your mouth that you're saved. Just live the life. He says, praise be to God. And the Jews believed that the kingdom of God was like a feast. They believed that when you sit down at the feast, that they would sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and they would break bread with these old patriarchs. And so with him saying this in verse 15, he believes in his heart that he's already qualified to be at this feast. It's one thing to think you're going, but it's another thing to know you're going. You see, you think you're going when you have pickers and choosers who you associate with. But you know you're going when you love everybody in spite of them. And see, what's wrong with the church right now? We are too busy pointing fingers at people. You want to point fingers at the gay men. You want to point fingers at the lesbians. You want to point fingers at this community and that community. I mean, you ain't all of that in a bag of chips yourself. You still got, the Bible didn't say y'all have sin. We all have sin. So I said, whosoever will, let them come. You have a church where you have certain people to come and certain, let everybody come and drink of the fountain freely. So he believed in his heart that he would be there. And so that ignites Jesus. He begins to tell this parable. Remember, a parable is a divine story with earthly meanings. In other words, he speaks on things that we are familiar with to get us a better understanding of God's will. So he says, well, since you're talking about feasts, let me share a story. He says in verse 16, he says, a certain man had a great supper and he begged many to come. RSVP. He asked so many people to come. Number one, write this down. In the text, we have the invitation given. He is asking everybody that they would come. He had a great supper in case that it's going to be a grand event. It's going to be lavish entertainment for all those who are attending. And surely the people who were invited to this feast were the cream of the crop. They were the rich and the influential. They were the movers and the shakers. They were the who's who of the who's who. Everyone that was anybody was invited to come to this feast. The haves were welcome, but the have-nots couldn't. Jesus here, he says, he uses their custom to illustrate God's kingdom. And so this man, he has a great supper. He invited all of them to come. And we're going to make this thing big. We're going to have everybody coming. Have you ever worked hard on an event, invited folk to come, and the day of the event, nobody shows up? You call them, oh, dog. I'm going to be that. Man, I got everything your heart could desire. Be wild, be a fat. And if you ain't got any four jaws, I got a little something there for you. Oh, come on, you got too holy on me now. Come on, get where I am now. I ain't tell you to tell what you did last week, but just be where I am. Can you get that with me just a little while? I know it's kind of uncomfortable. People may think paranoid, people looking at you, but that's okay. You okay. I done been to the point where I was sitting in church hungover. I've been there. Watch this. No, I never preached hungover, no. But watch this. He is inviting everybody. He has all the food. Servants are cooking around the clock because he believed that these people at their word of the invitation was going to show up. So he prepared for a huge event. But the day of the event, he peeped out the window. No car showed up. Peeped again. You know how we say it? Where everybody at? We begin to look at the clock and the watches and where is everybody? And that's how this man feels. So watch this. Here it is. That's how God feels. When you told him last week, you bless my soul, I'll be in your house Sunday morning. God woke you up. And God is saying, where's everybody at? Lord, if you get me through COVID, God got you through it. And now God's saying, where is everybody at? God cannot comprehend the fact that you believe is unsafe to be in church, but safe to go everywhere else. Let me say it again. It's unsafe to be here, but it's safe to go. I think I have a better chance of survival in God's presence than without his presence. I wish somebody can testify and say, I'm just glad to be in his presence. Even with my mask on, I'm just glad to be in his presence. Your mask may can cover your face, but it can't cover your heart. Whatever is in your heart, God sees it. So number one, we got the invitation given. And then secondly, in verses 18 through 20, we have the invitation rejected. There were three individuals, three classes of people in the text that rejected the invitation. One, in verse 18, said, I just brought some land. I got to go check it out. Verse 19, I just bought 5 yoke of oxen. I got to go prove them. Verse 20, dude said, man, look, bro, I just got married, man. Let's look at these three excuses. Number 18, I just bought some land. I've got to go see it. He was consumed with possessions. The second one said, I just brought 5 yoke of oxen. I got to go try them out. He was consumed with profession. The third one, I just got married. I can't come. It was personal for him. Now, so let's look at these three excuses and let's weigh them. Number one, when he says, I just brought some land. Number two, I just bought 5 yokes of oxen. I got to go see the land. I got to prove the land. Now, Rum Kirks, this bothers me. Because you ain't going to buy something if you ain't looked at it already. You ain't going to buy, y'all excuse the grammar, I got to say it the way I feel. You ain't going to buy a car unless you test drive it. So you mean to tell me these guys gave the man an excuse, I bought some land, I got to go see it. I bought 5 yoke of oxen, I got to go try them out. I would think you would at least observe the land and look at the price and see do they match up.
I would think you would ride the oxen to make sure they are healthy to tend the field before I spend money on them. You telling God I can't come because I had to go see something. I got to go see what I buy something I hadn't seen yet, and I got to go ride something I bought and didn't try it first. But the third excuse, I think God could understand it. He said, man, I would come, but brother, I just got married. I want to stay married. That went over your head. He said, because I don't think she's going to understand that I have to leave her on wedding night. And y'all know, wedding night, I'm going to leave that down. That's the best I can do for you. And so now, the man, the master of the supper, is angry. And let me warn you, when you reject God's invitation because of possessions or profession or even things are personal, when you reject his invitation, you have to be very careful because you are not promised to have time to accept it again. Don't sit in the pew this morning and know you have an open invitation and you've been rejecting it Sunday after Sunday and say, I'm going to wait till next week. Well, next week is not promised. You better accept Jesus while you still have breath in your body. Is there anybody here that can testify and say, I'm glad I found the Lord Jesus in time. Not that he was lost, but I was lost, sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore. Mark 8:36 says, what shall it profit a man if he would gain the whole world and lose his soul? Matthew 6:33 says, seek ye the Lord, the kingdom of God, and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. But then Psalms 37:4 said, delight thyself in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. So that tells me all these people going around saying he'll give you what you need, but he'll never give you what you want. You must ain't read Psalms 37:4. He said, if I delight in him, then he'll grant me the desires of my, I wish I had somebody to testify. And the desires of my heart is not to put somebody down, but to get what God gave me to help pick my brother up. The servant returns to the master, and he says, nobody coming. They all got excuses. He gets angry. He gets upset. All these people promised to come, and now the time for the event, they won't show up. He said, I'll tell you what I want you to do. He says, go out. Don't waste no time. Because the food will spoil if we waste any more time. Go out and tell everybody. Go out and tell them all, whoever you come across, that there's a feast here. It doesn't cost them anything but their time. Y'all just miss your praise cue. I'm a part of this group. The ones that the servant had to come out and get. And I was leery to come in because I thought it was going to cost me something. But then the Lord said, what it costs you, my son already paid it for you. All you got to do is show up. As I have somebody to ever just show up. You know, it's angry when you have a party and you got invited guests and somebody uninvited always shows up. And then you begin to whisper, who that is? Who that? I thought you invited. I don't know who that is. See, I was one of that who that is group. I just showed up at the party because the servant came and who was the servant? The Holy Spirit came and got me and said, the Father got a supper for you. He just wants you. I don't have no clothes. Come just as you are, weary, wounded, and sad. Look who he calls. Look at the people who he calls in verse 21. He calls the poor, the maimed, the halt, and the blind. The poor, he called those who he knew that can never pay him back. Y'all just miss your praise cue. Have you ever blessed somebody that you know they can never pay you back? Oh, Lord, y'all get in your pocket just for a minute. Most time we give people money because they're qualified to pay you back. But have you ever given something to somebody and didn't look for nothing in return? And God just blessed you? Let me say it again. Have you ever? Matter of fact, I challenge you this week to find somebody in your life that you know that cannot pay you back, not because they don't want to, because they can't. And you just bless them anyway. I'm going to challenge you this week. Just go to them and say, look, brother or sister, it is in my heart. I just want to bless you. Have you ever been that way? I just want to bless you. Now, I know somebody saying, Reb, I don't know, money's so hard to come by. You ain't say that at the casino the other night. You can say that at the liquor store the other night. I challenge each and every one of you. I'm going to say it again. Somebody ought to be standing on their feet. Lord, reveal to me that individual that's in need. And I know they won't be able to pay me back, but let me be able to drop a blessing. Can I flip the coin? God, I don't have the money to do it, but if you open up a door and put the money in my pocket, I'll find somebody that I can share this blessing with. Stop looking for things in return all the time. Because if you want a return on your investment, he keep waking you up in the morning. That's a good return on my investment. I got health and strength. That's a good return on my investment. He made my enemies leave me alone. That's a good return. Anybody ever had a good return on your investment? If you say you haven't, then you're lying, because if you're sitting here, God then gave you a good return on your investment. The poor, those he called, they can never pay him back. But then he called the maimed. These refers to people.